where you are, no matter what is happening in your life, the circumstances that are around you right now, I pray that you always praise his name. Because truth be told, brothers and sisters, God is worthy to be praised. The Bible declares from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, our Lord is worthy to be praised. And I pray that on this Sunday and every day that God blesses you to live, that you lift out the words of the song that our praise team so reminded us that we are to praise his name. How are you doing on today? This is the day the Lord has made, and I pray that you are committed to rejoicing and being glad in it. Thank you for allowing me in your home, in your space, as together you and I engage the Word of God. And just before we jump into the Word of God, particularly that letter that's coming from James as he writes to the believers, James chapter 1 is where our message for the morning is coming from. I'm just so encouraged to see all the good signs that we see, the slowing down of COVID-19 within our area, and God is blessed that we see now as a church family, we're able to move from our red phase to our orange phase beginning today. And we're looking to move into a yellow phase during the course of the week. And with that being the case, there's something I want to invite you to later on during our message time that I think that you will be excited to be a part of. But God is doing an amazing work in the life of his church. Even though we may not be physically together, God is still at work. I hope you get this. That God is still at work in the lives of those who are called his children, that he is actively engaged in each and every one of our lives, and God has a purpose for what we're going through. Welcome to our new series, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. Because the truth is, many of us may be experiencing that in this very moment, where there are so many questions, and there seem to be so few answers. And our lives are just being inundated by news after news. Here's some good news, and that is God has a message for you today. So if you're in that place where you don't know exactly what to do, if you're in that place, in that seat, in that setting, where you're asking that question, what to do next, God has a word for you. It comes from the letter that James writes to the believers in James chapter 1. James, that half-brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, listen to the words that he pens to the believers in his day. He begins the letter by acknowledging who he is, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, and you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. With the help of the Holy Spirit, in light of our new series, I would like to address it with this thought in our minds: getting to the good side of trouble. Father, we come before you. It is our objective to praise your name and to hear from you. So I ask in our time together that you would deal with us through your word, that you would grow us as your people, that we might be able to see that in all that we go through, you have a purpose to grow us in godliness. So help us that we might see you in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Truth is, brothers and sisters, the news cycle of the day moves at net-breaking speeds. I mean, let's be honest. By the time you get to a point where you're able to digest one story, there's another headline and another breaking news. To the degree that I believe we experience in this year, traumatic moments after traumatic moments. It's a continual effect. It might be how you describe this year. If you've been with us, even pre-COVID, you know that when we started this year, 2020, it was with excitement and exuberance as we were seeking a vision for 2020. And as a church, a CFBC family, we were seeking to follow Jesus every day of the year. That's how we started our 2020 journey together as a church family. And if you didn't see it then, you definitely see it now. How in the midst of following Jesus, that following him even every day does not exempt you from trials, tragedy, and even test. Yeah, that's the truth, that we are not exempt from testing. Oh, but here's the good news, that when you follow Jesus every day, though you're not exempted from testing and trial and trouble, you do have access to the power, the presence, the purpose, and the perspective of God, which allows those who are believers in God to see the good side of trouble in the midst of all that we go through. Because the truth is, as believers, it is critical for us to value growing in godliness throughout all that we experience. That we are to get something out of what we experience. In fact, the truth is, it is the purpose of God to grow you through all you go through. Go ahead and nudge somebody who's next to you and just ask them, did they hear that clearly? That's right. It is the purpose of God to grow you through all that you go through. It's being able to live life, getting on the good side of trouble, only happens when in the midst of trouble, you and I choose to focus on God. In fact, just by using those words, good trouble, I'm mindful of that American hero who just transitioned into glory, Reverend John Lewis, who gave his life along with one Reverend C.T. Vivian, who had given their lives to be the moral consciousness of our nation. They, in their time and moment, strived for freedom as they marched together, labored together, preached together as these men of God. Christians by profession, graduates of American Baptist Theological Seminary, ordained Baptist preachers, gave themselves to confront the trouble of our land. I'm mindful that it was Reverend John Lewis who said that it's okay to make noise, that we ought not to shrink back when we're facing trouble, but rather we ought to make noise and make good trouble. I can't help but believe that it was these two men of God who gained their inspiration from the Word of God, where we see James is speaking to believers in this time, in this text, in the context of which he's writing, who are scattered. I hope you have your Bibles open, because there in the first verse of that first chapter, James acknowledges that he is a servant of God. This is important. That he is a servant of God, and as a servant of God, he is writing to believers. In the ESV, they call them believers, the 12 tribes in the dispersion, people who were scattered, who believed in God, but are living in a moment, in a context, in a climate where as a congregation, they couldn't meet together. The fellowship had been disrupted because of the climate that they were in. And as a result of it, they were scattered throughout the outskirts of Palestine. But here's the good news, and I hope you catch this, that in the midst of all of their chaos, in the midst of all of their challenges, like you and I experience today, in the midst of all that we are going through, God was still able to get a word to them, and God is able to get a word to you. The reason being is because there is no challenge that is greater than God. There's no situation that God isn't God over, And in the midst of their situation, God got a message to them. Let me go ahead and pause for a moment because I want you to really understand this. This is before social media. This is before Twitter, Instagram, email. This is before the telephone, that in the midst of all their tragedy the believers were experiencing at the time, James is inspired by the Holy Spirit to write to the believers who are scattered abroad because of persecution that they were feeling in the context that they were living. God still got a message over to them. The truth is that God speaks clearly even through chaos. And even now, God speaks to you and I to let you know that He has a message, and the message to you is that you can take courage when you focus your attention on Him. When you allow God to have center stage on your mind, the center seat in your heart, that God could show you, could demonstrate to you that there's a good side of what you're going through. There's a good side even now of what we are going through. Because God speaks clearly in the chaos. We have to be attentive to know that God, who is sovereign, who is always in control, has a purpose for our very presence. And it's when we focus on Him, God can not only keep us in our now, but escort us to our next. And as we make that journey, we're able to make it with joy because we know that we don't make it alone. If you are a believer in God, here's the truth of the text, and that is that we can trust God. I get it. It's one thing to experience and see someone else in trouble and tell them to trust God. It's easier to be able to tell someone when they're going through, particularly at a time like this where challenge is all around us, to trust God. But when trouble meets you, when trouble meets your home, your family, when trouble meets your job, your vocation, your finances, it is not as easy to be joyful. And yet that's the message. That is the message that God gets over to the people of Israel. That's the message God is getting to you and I even now. You remember verse 2, count it all joy. Count it all joy. My brothers and sisters, he says in verse 2, when you meet trials of various kinds, count it as joy. When you're going through difficulty, the divine message that God has for you and I is to consider it with joy, experience it with joy. It's one thing to tell someone else to do it, but how do you do it when the trouble has met you? Let me suggest to you, brothers and sisters, if you're still here, it's the way in which we're able to count it as joy, to value the experience as we go through the experience. One is to remember that God is with us in the experience. It's what the psalmist articulates in Psalm 23, where he's saying, yea, though I walk, that's King James, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear because God is with me. We can value the good that comes with test when we know who's over the test, who's doing the test, who is orchestrating the testing. Because when you follow the flow of the text, He says that we ought to value the experience. When we're met with all facets of testing or trials or problems, because we know that the testing comes with a purpose. This may be hard for you to digest, that the struggle you're in has a greater purpose. That the time in which God has called us to live has a greater purpose, that God wants to pull back the surface of our doing and being so that more of Him might be seen throughout what we go through, that God has a purpose for the pain. And when we look at Him, we're able to see what we go through from His perspective. And when you look through God's perspective, you can look with courage, knowing that there's nothing that God is unable to control. I hope you caught that. That God is never out of control. God has the whole world, everything that happens in His hands. And if God has assigned you and I to this moment, this day, then we as children of God, believers in God, have to remember that God has it in control. Like a trainer who is training someone in fitness and well-being, will take a measure of weight, a regimen of exercise, and would give it to someone who's looking to be healthy. God is standing over our lives, and He's lifting up the bar and placing it on our arms, telling us to push. And even though there's some strain that comes with pushing, even though there's some rigor that comes with it, even though there's some soreness that may come as you push the weight of life, God knows that as you push it, you gain strength to endure. That's the text. For He says that there's something that we should know. Verse 3, He says, count it all joy, value it, brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Don't miss this. That testing, trials, do not produce faith. No. Trials and tests help to develop the faith we already have when we come to God through Christ Jesus. I hope you get this. That when you are in God, nothing is wasted. No point in your life is wasted. No strain is wasted, because God is a redeemer. He redeems the time. He redeems everything, every tear. There's no tear that is wasted in God's kingdom. When you trust Him, He puts everything you go through to work to grow you, to make you stronger, so that you might be steadfast. That word is also translated that you might be able to endure, knowing that God has a purpose for where you are and what you are right now. Kind of like Paul in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, the 3rd through 4th verse, where he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Get this. Who comforts us in all of our affliction, here's the purpose, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God has a purpose, and that purpose ought to be valued by us, because that's the good side of trouble. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the 58th verse, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, get this, your labor, your pushing, your straining, your testing is not in vain. Let me Many of you right now, you are mentally preparing to go into a new paradigm of school, a new paradigm of learning. But one thing that is consistent in all learning environments, that with all you're getting, all the information that you are pouring into your intellect, all that you are reviewing and rehearsing, the time comes for the test. And the test is not to demonstrate what you do not know, but to help you realize what you do know. And we're in testing times. And testing comes at many points and places in our lives. But we can value it. We can value it because we know that God is with us in it. And as we focus on God, you and I are able to focus on the good side. That God has a reason for the season that he allows us to experience as his children. And as we are going through this season of life, get this, God is working to perfect you, to grow you. It's not God's desire for you to be in the same position with him that you were in when you started this year. No. By now, we should be closer to God. We should be more in his word. We should be seeking God even more each and every day, knowing that God is still at work. He is. He's growing us, like the Hebrew writer declares in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, that looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and sits at the right hand of God, the throne of God. Listen, God is working on you even as you are going through. So when you're at that place where you're asking the question, what to do when I don't know what to do, here it is, seek God. And know that God is still at work in you. Still at work in your home. Still at work in your family. He's at work in your life. Sometimes we're so caught up in what we cannot do that we fail to see what God has allowed us to do. And perhaps God has allowed for you and your family to have more time as a family in the midst of this crisis, that God has given you more time where you could truly seek him with minimized distractions, that God has provided you opportunity where you can get more into his word as you seek him. Because as you seek him, you will come to know him. I hope you get it. That when you know the Father, you know exactly what to ask of the Father. James continues to write in verse 5 that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't miss this. As you focus on God, you grow in your relationship with God. As you seek God, you continue to learn of God. And when you do that, you continue to learn what you can ask of him. I'm mindful of that, particularly when I, as a father, earthly father, I'm able to have the blessed privilege of speaking into the lives of my four manifestations of love. I have four children, and I call them my manifestations of love. And I'm able to observe every now and then, particularly when they're not aware that I'm observing. I lean in every now and then and listen to the conversations that they have. Don't judge me like that, because if you're a parent, you've done the same thing. If you're a parent, you've leaned in and listened every now and then to what your children were talking about. And here I lean in and I listen, and I want to forget there was one conversation they were having, and they were conversing with some of their friends, and the friend said, well, suggested that they do certain things. And I was, as a proud father leaning in, I heard them say, no, my dad won't approve of that. He won't go to that. He won't grant that. To which the question was asked, well, why wouldn't he? He said, they said, how do you know? He said, because we know our dad. Come here. When you have a relationship with the Father, you know those requests you can ask of the Father that the Father has already prescribed that he would grant. I hope you hadn't disconnected just yet, because when you know God, you know you can ask certain promises of God, which God has already declared in the Word of God that he will fulfill. The closer you get to God, you begin to know that God gives peace to those who focus on him. Philippian writer said this way, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, there's the gift which surpasses all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. When you know God, you know that you can go to God in the midst of all the anxieties of this world, and you can get peace. Not only do you get peace from God, but when you grow in your relationship with God, you'll lack nothing. You go to him in faith, praying to God with a desire for his full guidance, and you will discover that God will give you security, because he gives security to all who seek him. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God gives all things that we need, he said, will be added unto us. That God gives us belonging when we seek him. Here's a promise that as many as received him, John says in John the 1st chapter 12 verse, to them he gave power to become the sons and daughters of God. When you search the scriptures, and you grow in your relationship with God by coming into relationship with the Lordship of Jesus Christ, God gives you a guarantee of yes for everything that he has promised. Don't miss this. For everything he has promised. Not for everything that you want. Not for every deliverance that you desire. But God gives a yes to everything that he has promised. Second Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that the reason you lack nothing when you are in relationship with God, when you're focusing on God and you can value the good that comes from the test that God allows or prescribes for your life, the reason you can do it is because you have a relationship with him. And it's through prayer. That's when he says that, ask of God and he gives generously, that we are able to receive from God wisdom, divine guidance, to help us navigate even when we don't know what's up ahead. That we can trust that God knows, that he is there, and that we are able, as we focus on him, to maintain godly identity throughout adversity. This is what wisdom does for the believer, that it allows us to continue to live our lives actively growing in godliness. That despite the challenges, in spite of the confusion, and even in the midst of the turmoil, that God is able to grow us, that in the midst of it, we look more and more like him. We get it as we pray to him. Not praying on one hand and doubting on the other, but praying with confidence in what we know of the character of God, his faithfulness, his truthfulness, that God will do what God declares he's going to do. We maintain our identity in Christ by remaining prayerful through adversity. But not just prayerful, but also that we maintain godliness in all of our pursuits. James then gives examples of what it means to lack nothing. Right there in the ninth verse, he speaks to those who have less means. He says, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. Let one who has minimal means rejoice in that they know the King of Kings, that they have a Father in heaven that has all and provides for them. Let them exult in their dependency upon God. But not only does those with little means in their pursuit rejoice, but also the rich, verse 10, in his humiliation. Here it is, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with his scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flowers fall and its beauty perishes. So also will those with means, so also the rich man fades away in the midst of his pursuits. What it is challenging us to understand, brothers and sisters, is that no matter what our station is in life, our socioeconomic status in life, it doesn't matter what our culture, our climate, our condition, our finances are. When you are a child of God, you are called by God to maintain the pursuits that matter most, and that is pursuing steadfast faith. That our faith is not in our possessions. Our faith is in being possessed by God. That we are under the lordship of Christ. And when you focus on the good side of trouble, you're able to celebrate that you belong to God. And when you belong to God, you know that every place God brings you to is a place for you to grow through. That's why he continues writing and he says to the believers then, as he does to us now. He said, blessed is the man, verse 12, who remains steadfast under trials. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Then he goes on to say that when we are tempted, let us not say that we are tempted by God, because God does not tempt us, nor does he tempt us to do evil. No, God doesn't tempt us to do evil. God will permit us to go through tests because God desires our development. Get this, sin desires our downfall, but God desires our development. And when you're going through, you must know that it is God who is equipped you to be able to withstand, to endure, to be steadfast to what you're going through so that you don't have to fall to the temptations that come upon you. We're gonna deal with this a little later when we have time, but this is what I want you to get, brothers and sisters. Because so much is happening, so much has happened in your life, both young and old, so much occurs in this thing we call life. But one thing remains true, that if you know God, you're able to look back on your life and see how God has been with you throughout the duration of your life. Because as I close, God can use ugly experiences to produce, to accomplish beautiful purposes. That if you look even through 2020 and before, and you're honest with yourself, you can go back and see how God took some tests and trials and tragedies of life And when you look back, you're able to see the beautiful tapestry of God's hand in your life, that God, like a skillful seamstress, were able to take all the fragmented pieces of your life and he put it all together, knitting it by the blood of Christ. And when you looked, you realized that you were better off because you were stronger. You were better because had you not gone through the problem, you wouldn't know that God is able to solve them. You wouldn't know what faith in his word could do. But through it all, you learn you could trust him. Through it all, you learn you could depend on Jesus Christ. Because it's our Savior who's able to take ugly experiences. I'm trying to let it go. I really am. But I need you to get this, that he's able to take the ugly experiences that we go through and transform it into beautiful purposes. That's what he did for a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 long years. He took her situation, and when she made up in her mind to not doubt that if she could only touch the hem of his garment, that she would be made whole, when she reached out her hand, Jesus, our Savior, transformed her ugly experience into a beautiful purpose, that those who were there are able to see that God heals, that nothing is so too hard for God. And in our ugly experience of the sinfulness of humanity, God, in his love for you and I, went to Calvary's cross. He bared our sins, and through his sacrifice, he transformed it into a beautiful purpose that you and I can be children of God. And as a child of God, we're able to see the good side of the trouble that we may go through. I trust that God is speaking that very thing to you, that if you haven't today, will be the day where you give him your heart and your life. You place your trust in Jesus Christ and know that all that you go through as a child of God is intended to grow you in godliness. Listen, God has blessed, and we ought to rejoice in that. We ought to share and shout the joy of our salvation. I'm just so excited to see what God is doing in this COVID season, as numbers of infections are going down, healings are going up, that together as a church family, I want to invite you this week. We're moving into phase orange, so I want to invite you this week, Wednesday at 6:45, that if you are able to see the good side, that you would join us in our park. We call it the path, right next to the sanctuary. We'll be spread out. We'll be socially distancing. We want you to come and worship with us on the path, because God is doing some great things. So come on out. Plan to come out. Bring your family. We'll be meeting in groups of 10, or at least in household units. Bring your own seat. Bring your blanket. Bring your joy. So together we encounter all joy, because we know that as children of God, God is with us. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? You seek him. You praise him. You trust him. And we thank you, Father, that you're good to us and that we can trust in you. So we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.